Hello, and welcome back to the Journey Back to Self podcast with your host, Mr. Darren Timms. And today, this podcast is extremely important. It's an essential podcast where I explain the necessity to take control of your conscious thinking and not to allow the incredible power of heterosuggestion, which means suggestion from someone or something outside of yourself to shape your current reality. And listen carefully. Never in the history of mankind is it so important right now to understand how your emotional state is being manipulated and hijacked and what to do about it. Those who have listened to my older podcasts or previous podcasts will know that we have conscious and unconscious thinking, and that your conscious mind serves as a watchman and stands guard at the door of your unconscious mind. And one of its most crucial functions is to protect the subconscious mind from false impressions. Remember that. Its crucial function is to protect the subconscious, which is your powerhouse, which is creating your reality, from your habit mind, from false impressions. The reason this is so important goes back to one of the most basic laws of mind control, and that is that your subconscious mind is extremely sensitive to suggestion and does not make comparisons or contrasts. It merely responds to directions from its conscious counterpart. It doesn't reason, and it doesn't need to think things out for itself, because that function belongs to the conscious part of the mind. The subconscious, or the unconscious, interchangeably, I can use that, as I've explained before, that part of the mind simply reacts to the impressions given to it by your conscious thinking, and it does not pick and choose among different courses of action. Therefore, suggestion, especially heterosuggestion, is a tremendously powerful force, which is why I want you to pay attention. Imagine now that you're on a boat and it's rocking from side to side on a turbulent sea. And you approach a sick-looking passenger and tell him, "Hey, brother, you don't look so good. Your face is practically green and it looks like you're about to be sick. Can I help you in some way to the bathroom, perhaps?" The passenger quickly turns a sickly shade of pale as the suggestions that you have just made about his seasickness links up immediately with his own fears and emotions, and he allows you to escort him to the bathroom, where your negative heterosuggestion now aligns with the thinking which you placed in his mind. It's now accepted as a truth, and sure enough, the gentleman throws up. It's also important to realize that different people will react in different ways to the same suggestion. This is because different people have different subconscious conditioning or beliefs. Now, let's rerun that scenario, but instead of choosing a passenger that looks unwell, I try it on a member of the crew who is accustomed to stormy oceans and it's all part of the job. Imagine now me saying to him, "Hey friend, you don't look so great and I think you're about to be sick. Can I help you out?" Depending on the sailor's temperament, he will either laugh or ignore you or tell you to go and play your silly game somewhere else because he's busy. Either way, your suggestion had no power over him, because the idea of seasickness was associated in his mind and with his own immunity from it. Therefore, it called forward no fear or worry because he was confident in his ability to handle whatever the weather and whatever sea conditions present themselves. If you look in the dictionary, a suggestion is the act or insistence of putting something in one's mind. It is a mental process by which the thought or idea that has been suggested is entertained, accepted into effect. Remember, a suggestion cannot impose itself on the subconscious mind against the will of your conscious mind. Your conscious mind has the power to reject any suggestion. The reason the sailor had no fear of seasickness was he had already convinced himself of his own immunity. So the negative suggestion had no power to evoke any fear, anxiety, or desperation. Yet the other passenger was already pre-concerned about becoming sick because he already carried a belief that stormy seas equated to him having some type of seasickness or motion sickness. And sure enough, through the heterosuggestion that I'd placed in his mind, plus the autosuggestion, which is his own thoughts and beliefs that he presented to himself, a chain of events was put in motion that ultimately led to this guy throwing up in the bathroom. Now, all of us have our own inner fears, beliefs, and opinions. And we also have these inner assumptions and rules that govern our lives. And suggestion is a very, very powerful weapon in the hands of those who want to use it against you. You see, its power arises from the fact that you accept it mentally. Only at that point do your subconscious powers begin to act according to the nature of that suggestion. I hope that you're beginning to see now how powerful suggestion is when dropped into the collective mindset of a species, i.e. human beings, whose brain was designed to keep us safe and not keep us happy. How easy is it, therefore, to control billions of people merely by dropping an idea or concept or widely held truth into the collective soup of our subconscious or our collective subconscious, and then just allow those ideas to marinate until all the fears and all the inherent concerns that humanity harbours within becomes a reality in each of their worlds. I've used the word autosuggestion a few times, which is a suggestion that comes from our own self, from our own conscious mind, and speaks directly to our unconscious mind. Yet it's that other form, the heterosuggestion, meaning it comes from another person. And it's this that we need to understand at a level of comprehension as to be effective or to protect ourselves against it as we go about our lives one day at a time. We must meet and attain a critical mass where most of humanity understand how they are being manipulated through heterosuggestion, and to direct the conscious mind away from that which is disempowering or inducing of fear. Just look at the mainstream media and how they use heterosuggestion to control billions of people. If your only source of information is mainstream media, then their agenda is the only opinion you have available to you. And we know that mainstream media are not in the business of promoting feel-good stories or heartwarming accounts of humanity coming together. It's fear, fear, and more fucking fear. If it's not a virus that's trying to snuff you out. It's a cause. Black Lives Matter. And of course they do. Yet if the mainstream are promoting it, you can be rest assured that there's an agenda behind it. And if it isn't Black Lives Matter or COVID-19, it's some type of bogeyman out there that needs to be caught. A terrorist cell, famine, biofamine, economic disaster, killers running amok, random psychopaths. Do you see how this is working? Your subconscious is being manipulated every time you sit down and read a newspaper or watch a TV news channel, directly placing into your subconscious mind fearful beliefs that you take on as a heterosuggestion that aligns with your own inherent fears, because humanity is geared towards suffering and pain and negativity and trying to move away from it. Yet by indulging in mainstream media, you're doing the exact opposite. In all ages and in every part of the world, the power of suggestion has played a dominant part in our lives. And throughout the history of humankind, political creeds, religious beliefs, and cultural customs all flourish and perpetuate themselves through the power of heterosuggestion. So as you can see, this suggestion can be used as a tool to discipline and control ourselves. However, it can be also used to take control and command over others. You see, we have not been taught to understand the laws of the conscious and unconscious mind in school. It just doesn't get covered. You'll only learn about that if there's something of interest to you outside the curriculum, or whether you go on to study psychology in college, but it's not something that many people understand. And how the conscious and the unconscious works at a profound level affects every human experience we are capable of having. In its constructive form, it's wonderful. However, in its negative aspects, it's one of the most destructive of all response patterns of the mind. If we can't take control of what's coming into our conscious and unconscious, the results can be devastating. Its results often can be enduring patterns of misery, failure, suffering, sickness, anxiety, depression, and disaster, if you allow the suggestion from those who want to scare you to become your everyday reality. Now do you see the absolute necessity to understand the importance of standing guard at the door of your mind and feeding it only empowering positive information? So please, please understand, mainstream media does not have your best interest at heart, and neither does it care about your health or the health of your loved ones. There is a political agenda going on behind the scenes of all major news channels and newspapers, and what they want is to promote a specific agenda, which effectively means lining their own pockets with more wealth and more power, simultaneously eroding your civil liberties and your power and your wealth. That's the way it has been. That's the way it always has been. And if they had their way, it will be the way it continues. But I don't think so. I think that their world is coming apart as more and more people wake up to the idea that we are being manipulated and played by a master magician whose expertise is in misdirection. To be clear about COVID-19 and where I stand, yes, it's afforded us some beautiful time to spend with our loved ones and for the planet to regenerate itself, but that was not the idea, in my opinion. You see, this virus, or whatever it is, has been the vehicle for the biggest heist of wealth from the lower middle classes to the ultra rich in the history of the planet. And it's essential to be informed of this fact as not to buy into any further draconian measures that the policymakers attempt to inflict on humanity. That is so damn important. Enjoy your time off. Enjoy generating new forms of income or creating a new skill set or doing what's needed to come out of this quarantine and this very strange time in history as a more rounded, more talented human being. But don't buy into the story that this quarantine and lockdown and curfew and masks and gloves are for your own good. This is for a very real agenda, and the agenda is not benevolent. I need for you to understand what has been going on through heterosuggestion and begin to take back your power. Primarily, turn the bloody TV off, television, tell lies to your vision, and stop watching mainstream media. Turn the media off for at least 2 weeks and see how your life radically changes as you begin to focus on that which is truly important, which is the love and care, compassion and empathy for yourself and for your own family and for those you care deeply about and for your anything else that lights you up. Animals, plants, environment, whatever it is, take time to connect on that level of love and compassion. Spend time in nature. Become silent. Sit amongst the trees. Take your shoes and socks off and walk bare feet in the grass or on a beach, in the ocean. Take a swim in the lakes or the rivers. Really come back to nature. Come back to who you are. At your best, which is an expression of the totality of everything. We are part of an evolutionary process which thrives in nature and in an environment which is conducive to optimum human health. We were not designed to sit indoors, eyes glued to a blue screen or a computer or a handheld phone, or a TV, every waking moment and allow the prophets of doom to project their misery into your living room and directly into your subconscious thinking. They are just trying to make you as fearful and therefore suggestible as possible. Please see what is going on and ignore mainstream media and come back to who you are at your best. A loving expression of the totality. Start to focus on how you can have a positive influence on the world and stop asking how good you are and start asking, what does the world need? I mean, truly need. And then ask the question, how can I help those in need? Again, it could be animals, plant life, other human beings, the environment. It matters not. But find a passion and engage fully with it. Something that lights you up. Something that gets you out of bed in the morning. Something that is contributory beyond your own life and meaningful at a level where you're making a difference to those whose lives are worse off than yourself. Trust me, people are always, always looking for you and what you have to offer. So stop worrying about how good you may be or how good you are. That's egoic. Focus on serving. You are unique. How you do it and how you teach, no one else can. And what you have to say, people want to know. People out there want to know what you know. So ask the question again. Ask it now. Who can I help today? And then begin to focus on serving others and the good you provide and not on your performance. I want you to make a decision today and I want you to ask yourself, what are the lowest standards I am willing to tolerate? Because if you don't make a decision to change how you wish to live, you've already made a decision. You have decided what you currently have, your circumstances and environment, are sufficient. And to be clear, if your current life is fulfilling and joyous, then ignore everything I have told you. But if not, make a decision. Then ask yourself, what are you committed to having? And who do you need to be to have what you say that you crave? How committed are you? You see, in my world, being interested is not committed. Either you are all in or you are a dabbler. And I often speak to my new clients before I take them on. As a client, I ask them, how committed are you to the process of transformation? How teachable, how coachable are you? And what are you willing to do to gain the transformation that you tell me that you seek so badly? How much are you willing to spend? How much time are you willing to invest in yourself? And are you really committed? Because your standards and values will define you and your level of commitment to anything. So dabblers, I don't work with. I work with those who are committed to transformation and are all in. And it's very clear after an introduction call how committed they are. So what is your baseline? What is a standard you will not violate? Ask yourself right now, decide right now, how are you going to live today to create a tomorrow you are committed to? What will you no longer tolerate starting now? Because you'll always get what you deserve, because you'll always get what you tolerate. And where will you be in 1, 2, 5, 10 years if you do nothing? And this is for the perpetual procrastinators. If not now, when? When will you decide, I'm done? I'm done with living this life. When your brilliance and your infinite potential is being left on the shelf every day. Because that's what you are. You are infinite potentiality with the ability to create anything you choose. So stop letting fear paralyze your decision-making processes and write down what it is you truly wish to achieve. And then with discipline and repetition, go after it with a single-mindedness until it becomes your reality. See, the difference in the results that people achieve is what they do differently in similar or the same situations to other people. Remember, it's not what we do occasionally, but with consistency that shapes our lives and destiny. And destiny is shaped by decisions that lead to massive actions required to create the life of an incredible expression. So I want you to stop playing small and realize you are incredible. You are extraordinary. Every single person listening to this podcast is extraordinary. And it's about time you were responsible for that shit. Stop playing small. You're not serving anybody. Now, this is going to take some effort on your part. Why? Because the human brain, as I told you, was designed to keep us safe, not happy. It's based in survival and not being an expert. Which is why there are so few true pioneers of change on this planet, because it was those people that bucked the trend and moved against the evolutionary process of what it's like to be human. And what it's like to be human is to live inside a brain which is always trying to predict a fearful future and avoid it. Yet, talk about a conundrum when the only certainty in human life is uncertainty, yet the human brain is always trying to predict the future and control external circumstances and events and situations, which is completely futile because the future is, by definition, uncertain. However, that's not to say that you don't give up. You can be totally committed to leading a great future and a great life, but unattached to the outcome, knowing that when the outcome arrives, if it's not matching your blueprint or expectation, you can create from that platform of presence and go again. How do you think those who moved against the evolutionary process of safety learn to do what they do so well? Did they come up on this information through massive suffering or some divine spark? Or were they lucky enough to be born into a two-parent model who themselves had figured out how to move against the process and become inspired by giving their own unconscious minds very clear directives? Well, all's possible in the universe of mystery and mythicism. So, what to do? What sets the pioneers aside from those who don't change anything? Well, those who really wanted to make a difference, they learned to walk forwards towards uncertainty and embraced uncertainty, knowing that the growth which they sought was always on the other side of the fears that they faced. That walking willingly into the caves where their shadow self resided was the only way to overcome the obstacles that life presents to everyone. Nobody gets away with not having to deal with obstacles. It's the very nature of being a human being. So, the human brain, to be clear, although it's geared for safety, will respond to very clear directives. Meaning, if you don't design and implement a future of that which lights you up, your brain will create one for you and it won't be favourable. Why? Because we crave familiarity and will, unless directed with consistency and discipline, resort back to homeostasis, to parity, that which it knows. So in closing, and this may be the most important part of the podcast, it's not to look at those who have manipulated humanity and those who are continuing to manipulate humanity. I don't want you looking at them with anger, vitriol, spite, or revenge. And this is really important. Because those emotions do more damage to the container which houses it than anything over to which it's poured. In my world, in my model of the world, no force in nature is purely evil. In my understanding, unconditional love is the only true consistent force in the universe, which exists as a frequency, as an energy. All negativity, all perceived evil, therefore, is the absence of that force in one's life. Those that choose to dwell in the frequency of evil or negativity, and all other frequencies that do not express love, have through much repetition trained their unconscious mind to exist on those dimensional planes which just affirm their reality. Yet love is always available. It's always a choice. As a frequency, love is eternal. One need only aspire to be loving, giving, kind, and operate from positive intention to be in love, the frequency of love. Because love is not what you do, love is what you are. And love is not a relationship you solely have with a significant other or an intimate partner. That's just a singular expression of love. Pure unconditional love, in my opinion, is the relationship you have with all life and the reverence which comes from understanding we are all one. Literally, and not figuratively, that we are all connected, that source energy being expressed in a trillion different containers. And once understood, once you get that, I mean truly get it, that will rapidly change your emotional state and with it your life. I have a constant love affair with life, and like all affairs, they can be testing and difficult at times. But now you know who you are and the path that you are on. You can no longer not know what you know. The toothpaste will not go back in the tube. And the power of this path has revealed itself to you. My only question is, will you stay on it and walk bravely towards a brighter future, taking back your power, or will you deny its existence and acquiesce to a force which is anything but love and unity? I'll leave that with you. And until the next time, be your greatest version.